We are joined right now by the lead NHL analyst and horse racing analyst for NBC Sports. He played 16 seasons in the NHL. He won a Stanley Cup with the New York Rangers, a member of the 1984 Olympic team and the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, a recipient of the Ace Bailey Award for Courage. Eddie Olczyk is my guest. Eddie, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, what's up, pal? How you doing, Jim?
Good, good. Ed, how about you? How are things?
I'm doing well, man. Feeling good and getting into the stretch run of the playoffs in the National Hockey League. You know, people, teams jockeying for position, lots of jockeying going on, and if I can use the word jockeying, lots of jockeying going on.
I love it.
The hell's going to be in the first Saturday of May come Churchill Downs for the Kentucky Derby.
I see you working, Ed. I love it. Eddie Olczyk, my guest. All right, so in terms of teams jockeying, you just got back from Pittsburgh where the Penguins beat Edmonton 3-1 last night in a game where Matt Murray had 38 saves, including a penalty shot from Connor McDavid. That came after he had a career-high 50 saves against the Flyers on Monday. When you're facing a goalie that locked in, how do you go about beating a guy like that? How tough is it?
Well, I mean, goaltenders do have that ability, Jim, as you know, is to get into not only goal scorers' heads, but shooters as well. And sometimes you try to be a little bit too fine when a goaltender is in that zone. And I think sometimes you have to have the internal clock where you just sit there and, okay, well, yeah, I want to shoot it now, but I'm going to pause here. I'm going to, you know, instead of going 1-1,000, 2-1,000, maybe you got to hold on to it a split second longer just to try to play that game of so-called chicken and kind of break that concentration. And right now, Matt Murray is seeing it. Now, I will say this, that game against Philadelphia, the Flyers didn't get inside as much as probably that they would have liked. I mean, there were some rebounds to be had. I think there were some rebounds to be had last night in Pittsburgh with that win over the Oilers, as you had mentioned. But, you know, that was obviously a huge stop on Connor McDavid. And, you know, I think when you look at the replay of that penalty shot saved by Matt Murray on Connor McDavid, Jim, it was kind of a change of pace type of play where he came in, had a little bit of speed, then he slowed down and he kind of moved laterally. And I think he was waiting for Murray to drop that glove, and he did. Unfortunately for Connor McDavid, he just wasn't able to go bar down because that's one area. I think if you saw the scouting report on Matt Murray, it would be glove hand side, top shelf, and Connor McDavid just wasn't able to execute. But Matt Murray seems to have found his game, and that's good news for the Penguins, who are battling for a playoff position, and right now they hold that second wild card in Eastern Conference.
That is true. Eddie Olczyk is my guest. They're 1-3-1 in their last five, and they were without Evgeny Malkin, where they went into that game 1-3-1. Eddie, what about Edmonton? Now, they're 6 points back of Minnesota for the final wild card spot. If they miss the playoffs for the third time in Connor McDavid's career, how disappointing would that be?
Well, I mean, obviously it would be disappointed, Jim, but look, I mean, the reality is that probably the Edmonton Oilers are what they are. I mean, everybody goes back to a couple of years ago where, remember that crazy finish against Anaheim in the semifinals in the Western Conference where they, you know, Anaheim, I think, scored 3 goals in the last couple of minutes of the game and eventually went to Edmonton and won the series. And Edmonton was, you know, I mean, like minutes away from going to the conference finals. Last year, they underachieved, so they're probably right where they should be. I mean, besides Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl up front, and then you got Klefbom and Nurse on the back end, you know, it's going to be a battle for them. I mean, they don't have a lot of secondary scoring. I mean, they don't have a lot of depth on the back end, and the goaltending certainly has been up and down. I mean, Cam Talbot a couple of years ago when I talked about that playoff run that they had. I mean, very few blemishes all season, including the playoffs. So it'll be really interesting to see what they do. I mean, it's been a lot of change in Edmonton, change of coach, change of general manager. If they continue this slide here, I can think now what they're 8 of 9 they've lost. You get to the trade deadline in less than 2 weeks, you got to think that there'll probably be a few guys heading out and they'll just be preparing for next season. But certainly disappointing when you have one of the best players that we've had come into the game in a long, long time being on the outside looking in when it comes playoff hockey, because you know Connor McDavid is that type of guy to be able to take his game to another level.
We're talking to Eddie Olczyk. Now, Eddie, I had Lightning head coach John Cooper on the show. That's a conversation that I had never had, but I've been looking forward to for a long time. He did not disappoint. What do you make of him? Because you know he did not play in that league, and he's coaching at a high level. You played in the league a long time, and you coached in that league. What do you make of him personally and the job he's doing?
Well, full disclosure, I've known Coop for a long, long time. I saw him when he was going through the grinds of a young coach in the United States Hockey League, where my oldest boys were playing at the time, and he was the head coach of the Green Bay Gamblers in the United States Hockey League. So I've seen Coop go from a junior coach in coaching teenagers aspiring to go to college hockey and then eventually to the National Hockey League, and he's done an incredible job. I mean, he's paid his dues. He had great success in the American Hockey League, one level below the National League, and you know he's got a hell of a team to work with. There's no doubt about it. And look, that's not easy. I mean, it is not easy to be able to have the success that they've had. Now, look, they're still, you know, they will take that next step. I mean, they lost to Chicago in the finals a couple of years ago, but I think that the one thing that I think John Cooper does extremely well, Jim, is I think he has a feel in the game to be able to make those adjustments and have a feel of who's going, who's not, and not afraid to go to those guys, whether their name is Stamkos or Kucherov, or to go to guys like Palat or Point. He has lots of weapons there. There's no doubt he's always had very good goaltending, which certainly helps because, as you know, goaltending camouflages a few deficiencies if you have them. And when you get consistent goaltending, you got a chance to win every night. But I think Coop has done an outstanding job there in Tampa. And, you know, look, I think people are looking at Tampa now. Yes, they were to the finals a couple of years ago against Chicago, as I mentioned. But, like, you know, okay, the team that they have assembled, the moves that they have, the goaltending, the depth that they have, okay, it's time for them to go ahead and hoist that Stanley Cup. And it wouldn't surprise me because certainly, obviously, by what it says, you know, statistic-wise, is, you know, they're probably the favorite to win it all this year. But Coop deserves a lot of credit. He's done an incredible job there, and we'll see if they can make a run. Because remember last year now, they had Washington on the ropes. And I think Washington pushed them around, and that ended up being the difference in that series. And eventually the rest is history with Ovechkin and the Capitals winning the first Stanley Cup.
That's it. Eddie Olczyk joining us, NHL and horse racing analyst with NBC Sports. You know, Eddie, you and I have talked about your battle with cancer. Last year you received the Ace Bailey Award of Courage at the NHL Alumni Awards. It's an honor which is given to, quote, a recipient who has shown exceptional courage and exemplary determination in life. What did it mean for you to receive that? What was that night like for you?
Well, it was very special and humbling, Jim. For people that may not know, Ace Bailey was a longtime National Hockey League player, a great ambassador for our game, and sadly was on a plane on 9/11 when he was working for the LA Kings in a scouting position, and the plane was taken down by those terrorists. And to have my name alongside the late Ace Bailey, and considering personally what I had gone through, certainly very honoring and humbling. And I, as we talked last year a couple of times, Jim, both on the air and off, you know, I think my purpose in life now is to inspire one person to either help them deal with what they're going through, not necessarily cancer, but any battle that they may be in, or to help somebody stay away from it, to get pre-screened, to make sure that they're raising their hand and saying, you know what, I need to go see a doctor, or it's about time that I go get a checkup. And I kind of feel like that's my purpose in life. My wife, Diana, of 30 years, we're very much engaged in the community and just trying to tell my story without being overbearing. But to get that award amongst so many great people in our game, very fortunate and thankful from the NHL alumni, the head of the NHL alumni, Glenn Healy, former teammate of mine and a member of the 1994 Stanley Cup champion New York Rangers. We were together, and it's hard to believe we just had our 25-year reunion in New York this last week, Jim, which I don't know where in the hell 25 years has gone, but it was great to see a lot of familiar faces. And but just very proud and honored to have received that award in the late honor of Ace Bailey.
Eddie, what was that like? I mean, winning that Stanley Cup was something that was unparalleled. What was it like 25 years later when the guys get back together, and was everybody there for it?
Yeah, I mean, everybody was there. Unfortunately, we lost one member of our team, right. Alexander Karpatsev. I remember a few years ago with that horrible plane crash over in Russia. Potsy was a member of that team, and we lost him, but his wife and his daughter were there representing him. But everybody else was there, players, trainers, coaches, and it was emotional. I mean, it really was. I think there's that hard to believe where all the time goes, and you see the years grow on guys, and you talk about the battle that you had of being able to win the first Stanley Cup in New York for the Rangers in 54 years, hadn't won since 1940, and you know, just to be with the guys and reminisce and look, I mean, there's a sense of, I don't want to use the word, you know, sadness, but I mean, it's like, you know, this might be the only time that, you know, like we get together now, like moving forward, like 25 years is 25 years. Like, are we going to be able to be the, I hope all of us are together in 25 years from now and celebrate 50 years. But, you know, the reality is that, you know, life goes on and things are going to happen. So I think there was that, you know, that's why I think it was very emotional, and just the Rangers organization did an amazing job. And it was so well run, and hopefully the Ranger fans enjoyed themselves. They were able to be there at the Garden this last Friday, or to be able to watch it on television, because it was, it meant a lot to us. And there aren't many times that I end up in New York City, Jim, where I get at least, you know, one or two Ranger fans a trip when I'm in there, where they, you know, they just thank me and thank our team for winning a Stanley Cup back 25 years ago, and that certainly means a lot.
God, that's got to feel so great, Ed. That has to be such an awesome thing to come into that town and get that. But God, you're so right. Eddie Olczyk, my guest. Where does the time go? Like, for instance, remember when you were in Los Angeles and there was some overlap? You played with the Kings, and a buddy of ours, a buddy of mine down the street, Craig Johnson. And there was one year when you guys were both on the team, and you mentioned your kids. You know, Craig is a really good youth coach right now, and he works with a number of NHL teams. He's got a son named Ryan who is internationally. He's a really good junior player. But, like, our kids played down the street together, Ed. They were like, these kids were like 8 years old together. And, like, where does the time go? It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And I think, again, you know, I've been asked this question, especially with what's gone on here, Jim, with me personally, with that battling stage 3 colon cancer. And it's hard to believe coming up on a week from today, I will have stopped my last treatment with my chemotherapy on February 21st at 9:02 a.m. Central Time, when I got unhooked for the last time. That, you know, people ask me, like, do I look at things differently after having battled what I did? And, you know, and I say honestly, and we touched on this last year, Jim, when you had me on your show, and I really, when I was in the battle, I really didn't, because I think I was at such peace with myself, the most important people in my life, my wife and my kids and my immediate family, and the people that have had a huge impact on my life knew how I felt about them. Cause I was brought up in a way. And I think I just learned this over my life, is that, like, tomorrow is not given. Like, tomorrow is not promised. And I've always wanted to make sure the people that mean the most to me know that. And I think that that's why I was able to battle like I did going through it. Look, was I scared? Absolutely. I didn't want to leave this earth way early, you know, but the thing I think that kept me going is that the people most important to me knew how I felt about them. So I think, look, whatever was in the cards, I was at peace. And I think that that helped me get through. And I look at my life and go, you know, yeah, I'd go back 10 years, 15 years with my kids. I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't treat them any differently. I wouldn't give them anything more or less. It was just the time. And that's why I think, for me, going through what I did, I think that's what helped me a bit get through the toughest time of my life, is that, you know, I had some peace in my life, and the most important people in my life knew how I felt about them, and whatever happened with that horrible disease. And lucky enough to be on the right side of the sod a year later.
God, it's so powerful. It's such a powerful message, and I'm so glad, Eddie, that you can come on the program and share it like that. So finally then, as you point out, this is what the mission is. If there is somebody listening, and I know there is. Of course there is, who's dealing with something similar to what you dealt with, or even to your point, if it's not that, but it's something really challenging, something really threatening, or something very scary, what is the message? How do they get up and go to battle every day to get through it?
I think it came from my wife, Jim. When I was going through the first couple of treatments of chemotherapy, because I would take chemo every 2 weeks for 48 hours. I would take it for 4 hours at the hospital, and then they would send me home with a fanny pack, and I would have it, my chemo, a different type of chemo, drip for 48 hours, and they would come and unhook me. And everybody that's been around it knows that there are side effects when you take chemo. And for me, there was a time where a couple of treatments in where, Jim, I was done. I could not live with the side effects where it just, it consumed me. It was bad headaches. It was nosebleeds. I developed a blood clot, vomiting. You can't control your bathroom issues. And you sit there and go, how in the hell can I live like this? Like, it's not right. And look, I'm not embarrassed to say this because I think it's important for people to hear it. I mean, I wanted to quit. Like, I wanted to bail because I couldn't deal with everything that came with the disease. And my wife grabbed me by the short hairs and looked at me and said, fight for me, fight for our kids, and fight for all the people that love you. Be an example for people that look up to you and need you. And you have a moment, you're emotional, and okay, how am I going to get through this? So you take a deep breath and you go, okay, it is really. Because you hear coaches say it all the time, Jim, right? Yeah, well, this player's day-to-day. Well, in the big picture, aren't we all really, like, in the big picture? Like, we're all day-to-day. There's nothing promised for tomorrow. And I think what I did was okay, I'm just going to battle this thing. I'm going to fight. I'm going to do everything in my power. And I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to raise my hand when I need help. But I'm going to battle this thing hour to hour, day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month. And then hopefully in 6 months, they're going to tell me, okay, you're clean, you're clear. Or I didn't know what was on the other side. And I was like, look, maybe I have to go another. And look, I know this, Jim. There are a lot of people that were and are way worse off than Eddie Olczyk ever was. And I pray for those people. But I want those people to know that we're thinking about them. We need to make sure that we're reaching out. And the understanding of how important the caretakers and caregivers are for the people that are helping the people that are in the battle, because they may not going through a physical, Jim, but they are going through things mentally. So we have to make sure we're taking care of the caregivers and caretakers that are helping people along. So I would encourage people to fight, believe, and live day to day, because as I said earlier, tomorrow is not promised.
Eddie, I'm so glad you shared that. I've done this a long time. That's one of the most amazing things I've ever heard. I want to let you go, but I have to ask about Diana. Like, how is she like that? You want to talk fierce? You want to talk tough? You want to talk about how you wanted to give up? I would imagine those around you, probably it was so hard for them to see somebody as proud, as strong as you, dealing with what you were dealing with. Why was she able to stay in the fight that way? Where did she get that from?
Well, I got really lucky, Jim, because Diana was the rock. My wife of 30 years, this past August. And like I said, I never saw her down. I never saw her weak. I never saw her worried. But I know when she was away from me, I'm sure. And I know that she had her moments like, what is going to happen to him? Like, is he going to be around? Our oldest son got married this last summer, and you know, I'm sure my wife wondered. I wondered, you know, am I going to be around for my son and my daughter-in-law's wedding? And I think my wife understood how important it was not only for me and for herself, but you know, also for our four kids. You know, because I was at my weakest. Because of the medicine and it just consuming me and taking everything over. But I think we certainly know, as I said earlier, the importance of the caretakers and caregivers, not going through it physically, but certainly mentally. And be forever grateful for all the support I got, and not only just from
my wife and my family and my friends, but people like yourself, Jim, who checked in, and, you know, the hockey community, the horse racing community, and people that I know, and I still get notes and cards and people with well wishes. And like I said, my goal now is to help one person either stay away from it, help them deal with it, or be an inspiration and say, hey, look, if that old retired hockey player and broken down horse player can do it, you know what, I can do it too. And that would be, you know, that hopefully that'll be the greatest feather in my cap when I'm long gone, is that somebody was inspired by my story.
Oh, there's no doubt, Ed. I can only imagine how many people have been today. I'm so glad you share that story, just as I would understand that, as horrible as that was, if you never, ever wanted to address that publicly ever again, I would respect that and I would understand that. But I think I speak for a lot of people. I could not admire and respect it any more than I do that you do share your story, because there's no telling how many people that you help by doing so. Next time, and I appreciate that so much, Ed. I could not respect you and admire you any more for it. Next time we'll talk some ponies as we get close to the first week in May. I appreciate our friendship, and it's always good to have you on the show, Ed. Thanks so much, and it's great to see you doing so well.
Thanks, pal. Always great to be with you, Jim. Talk to you soon.
You got it, Eddie. Eddie Olczyk. I mean, if you're not moved by that, that's... I know Ed. I've known Ed for years, decades. Eddie and I talk on the air. Eddie and I talk off the air. We talk hockey. We talk horses. We're friends. And even that choked me up. That's an amazing story. Okay.